More than 5,000 eviction notices in just 3 months. A 41% jump year on year. Here in Ireland, eviction has never been just about housing. It's an issue that still carries a deep emotional and historical charge. But as those numbers climb, some are drawing comparisons with darker periods in our past, comparisons that are powerful but also contested. So what do today's eviction levels really tell us? And are we at risk of overstating the parallels or underestimating the problem? It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. And we Irish have always had a particular relationship with housing. We talk about it endlessly. I, for one, follow those television schedules that are filled with property shows and eat them up. And yet for something so many of us are so obsessed with, it has never felt quite so out of reach for so many ordinary people. Unlike other European countries, we've never really embraced the idea of secure, long-term renting as a viable option. From the land war to the famine years, eviction in Ireland has always been a symbol of powerlessness. And as those levels rise again and families are forced from their homes with nowhere to go, are we seeing patterns here echoed that we haven't seen since the 19th century? The causes of today's crisis are very different, but those deep, painful resonances for this country remain. New rental rules like longer leases have been introduced. Some landlords blame those for their decision to exit the market, but they're being replaced by international property companies. So how did we get here again? Well, with me today is Michael Clifford. He's a special correspondent with the Irish Examiner and host of the Mick Clifford podcast. Mick, you're very welcome to News Talk Daily. So when you saw those very latest figures from the Residential Tenancies Board, a 41% jump in notices of termination or eviction notices in just the last 3 months of 2025, what went through your head?
I mean, it's a huge jump, obviously, and the human toll that's involved in that, you know, I think it's in the order of 5,000 evictions there, which is a huge thing. The other thing is that you have to assume that a large proportion of that was people getting out of the market in advance of the new rent rules, because I think about 62% of that figure of evictions were people who were selling the property. And we were told that as a result of the new rent rules that came in the 1st of March, there would be an exodus from the market of a certain number of people and there would be an increase in evictions. And that seems to have been started already. So it's definitely very worrying because, as I understand, the evictions from last year are up by at least 25% on the previous year. Now, the other thing that strikes me about it is, as I say, we were told that there's going to be an increase in evictions, but the government's approach to it seems to be that this is pain that will have to be endured in order to bring bigger landlords, multinational landlords, into the market. The kind of people who will be building 200 and 300 apartments, for instance, in one go. And the approach seems to be that over the long term, that will be a far greater benefit to everybody. There'll be more homes available. That's all very well. There's two issues about it. First of all, though, the issue of being evicted these days is not like, for example, it might have been 10 years ago when you can go and find somewhere else to live. Notwithstanding, there's a lot of trouble in that. But these days, it's either next to impossible to find a place. And if you do, the rent is so expensive, it's punitive. I mean, the average rent, I think, in Dublin is about €1,700. The second thing, which in some ways is possibly even more worrying, is, you know, we're back to a scenario whereby this is a kind of a hope for the best, that if these rules come in, all these international investors will also come in, and therefore we'll have an increase in supply. I don't know how guaranteed that is, and you just have to wonder, is this a punt in the dark?
Let's just look, though, at the figures again. For 2025, we were talking 20,033 evictions. In 2024, it was about 16,500 evictions. So yes, it's a massive increase, but it isn't really a one-off spike. There is a sustained, I think, trend here of more and more notices of termination being handed out to tenants.
There is, and we were told after, now, going back a few years, you recall the eviction ban came in with COVID and the whole thing at the time. And when that was lifted, I think it was in 23, we were told there'd be a whole slew of evictions. It didn't turn out to be that bad, but there certainly has been a number of them. As I say, the huge issue there is what happens when somebody's evicted. Because the times when it just involved, not just involved, obviously it's a traumatic scene for anybody in that scenario, but where it involved a transient period of some hardship until another place was got and you could attempt, the renter could attempt to rebuild their and their family's lives in a new home. That option is extremely limited today. So are you talking about a scenario whereby the homeless figures, which are dealing with people in emergency accommodation, are going to continue increasing? And apart from anything in that respect, the impact that has on, quite obviously, the mental health of people in general, but in particular on children and what the long-term effects of that are, in one way, it's storing up more problems for the future. On the back of this policy that they're suggesting that this will involve more investors coming into the market.
As you say, the majority of these evictions, just over 60%, are landlords who say they are selling up, they are getting out of the market. But landlords who had tenancies, which began before these new rules came in, which was on the 1st of March, they weren't affected by these new rules. So as I see it, there was no real objective reason, if you had an existing tenancy, to get out in the last quarter of last year. It suggests to me there's another reason.
Quite possibly. There's an awful lot of dispute about that area, Ciara. Property organisations have claimed that there's so many rules and so many taxes that it's not worthwhile. Others, I've seen other analysis that suggests that's not the case and that we're more in line with other European countries. So it's very difficult to tell that. It's also very difficult because various people have vested interest and they want to project it in a particular way. That's just the nature of public policy in any area. So it's very difficult to know. I mean, we should point out, I suppose, that the positive thing from renters in these new rules is the 6-year minimum term, which is a positive thing. But some people are suggesting that, as you say, they're not affected. But their question is, for example, if they had a tenant that left, say, now, we're in late March, or any time hereafter, their new tenant, they would be obliged to give them a minimum 6-year lease. And some landlords are saying that that is what is turning people off. Why it should, I don't know. I suppose, in some ways, Ciara, what they're trying to do, the government, is adopt to a model that exists in mainland Europe where you have people in very long-term renting and therefore, understandably, they have long-term leases. Now, on one level, that's all right. But on another level, you have other issues about the kind of market rent, and particular for older people. You know, we had a model in this country whereby up to about 75% of people would be homeowners. So by the time you retire, for instance, the vast majority of people would have their mortgage paid off. But we're now facing into a scenario if you're going to have far more renters, people who can never afford to buy a home. What happens to those people when they retire if they are still paying very high rents that, with the best will in the world, is not going to be covered by a pension?
Yeah, and it's a question I don't think we've addressed at all in this country at this point. I mean, the Department of Housing's own analysis on these new rules, they flagged the risk of economic evictions. They also, in their analysis, said rents would rise in the short term, and we haven't even seen that play out yet. So why do you think the government was so willing to take a gamble on something that is clearly so emotive, that is clearly so emotionally charged in this country?
They seem to be willing to take that gamble on the basis that they have a belief. And to be fair, there could well be some evidence for it. But I mean, anything can happen between now and then, as they say. For instance, some government representatives, I believe, were abroad at foreign investor conferences, even in recent times, to highlight these things. But they seem to be doing it on the basis that if you have more certainty, like, for example, these 6-year leases and that kind of thing, and if you're more in line in that respect with mainland Europe, that the big investors are going to see, right, we'll come in there, there's certainty into the future, therefore we'll know exactly how we can manage this financially, etc., and that kind of thing. The whole thing appears to be based on that punt, and maybe it's unfair to call it a punt, some people would say it's not, big investors will mean more homes, will mean eventually, and this again is another variable I wonder about, that the price of rent will come down. So it's that long-term goal for short-term pain. But by God, you know, it's the people, you have to ask, are we creating something of an underclass by the increase in the number of people who are going to be evicted from their homes, and it appears to be heading towards a bit of a spike?
In terms of people who are getting out of the market, the landlords getting out of the market, I think the research shows that a lot of them are a little bit older. Perhaps these new rules are just the straw that broke the camel's back. They're fed up. They feel burnt out. They're also thinking, you know, right now I can get a really good return if I sell this property. You know, the prices at which properties are going for are on the increase all of the time. And the evidence does show that there has been a 10% shift year on year in favour of these larger institutional landlords. Is that a bad thing, Mick?
I mean, it's not a bad thing as long as rents are affordable. Now, it's questionable whether that's going to happen, but it's questionable whether that's happening in the current market where you've the so-called mom and pop landlords. Anyway, but if it were to happen, if it were to happen in sufficient numbers, no, that's not necessarily a bad thing at all.
But that's not how we view those international property companies in this country, Mick, is it? I mean, we see them as being sort of more professional, perhaps, but more expensive, less present, a bit like the absentee landlords of old.
Possibly. I mean, I don't know whether I categorise them all like that.
But I think that's how they're viewed. I'm not saying that they should be categorised like that, but I think that's the narrative around these institutional landlords.
It's similar, Ciara, we talk about vulture funds. I mean, even the term suggests, you know, predatory and what have you. Whereas, as I understand it, a lot of these big funds, all they want is certainty and a particular return on their investment. Now, the return on the investment is going to largely be down to the market. And if the market is, if it's expensive for people to rent in the market, they're going to get a better return. But that's no good to renters. So my understanding is that in general terms, they're not short-term investors, that they're in for the long haul. But the question is, how much are the rents going to be in those apartments? And for example, are they going to be any more expensive than they would be in the properties being let by small landlords?
Again, we just don't know. You've written in the Irish Examiner, Mick, that evictions summon ghosts from folk memory. Can you explain why they resonate so deeply here in Ireland compared to other countries?
Yeah, well, you go back to the 19th century when we were a colony of Britain, and the spectre of the evictions were a flashpoint always. And you had a scenario whereby a tiny number of people, I don't know, far less than 10%, possibly as low as 1%, owned the vast bulk of properties. And you had something around 90% of, I think it was actually 90, up to 96% in the 19th century, of people who were tenants. And you had the scenario that rents were put up at the will, at the grace and favour of the landlord, people who couldn't afford it, what was effectively a peasant class, routinely got evicted. They were basically put out on the road, on the side of the road. And it was a real flashpoint in land agitation, and eventually led, of course, to the setting up of the Land League and the advances were made there in the late 19th century. But it really symbolised the loss of the dispossessed, of the colonised, and the fact that people had no rights in that respect at all. Now, you bring it forward to today, and there's been some analysis that suggests that per household that is there, you may have a greater proportion of evictions in the current environment. I mean, there's a few caveats with that. The first of all is that the proportion of households now that are renting are about a third of all households in the country, whereas they say it used to be about 96%. But one way or the other, it's symbolic of a time when you had, in that time, you had the vast majority of people who were in that category. Now, it's not a huge proportion of people, but every one of them have lives and every one of them you know, they're going to have those lives in modern society turned upside down by not having a secure roof over their heads. And how bad that gets will be interesting to observe, and whether there is much of a pushback against it if, as some are predicting, we do see a spike in evictions.
And a further spike in rents. And that's one that we still have to see playing out. I mean, to go back to those comparisons that we're hearing at the moment, eviction levels in this country are at a rate that have not been seen since the 1800s. We're talking about the famine era here. Is that accurate then?
There are some comparisons, definitely. Now, look, there's very few ways we can compare to how we're living today to then. But it does reflect that this is an issue that's growing. Yeah. And it's an issue that has a primal reaction, a kind of a racial thing, a historic thing among Irish people in terms of what it says about the society we're living in.
I just wonder how fair it is to sort of tap into that emotional response when you're having this conversation to try and sort of provoke the historical trauma that seems to have been there because of the evictions that our forefathers endured and the famine that they experienced.
Well, fair point, Ciara, but I mean, you can put it a few ways. We make all sorts of historic comparisons in an awful lot of things. But in this respect, I think there may be some validity to this extent. Somebody today, and the way we're accustomed to living today, the majority of us, those of us who have relatively secure homes, the way we've organised our lives, the way we're a consumer society, the way we're, in nominally at least, a wealthy society, and yet at the same time we're a small country, so you still have a relatively intimate society. In that scenario, to see any amount of people having to leave their home, and this is the crucial element, is not being in a position to find another home. As I say, go back 20, 30 years and you're just in a transient scenario. Today, what that can often mean is that you're condemning, for example, a family to living in a hotel room and all the impact that has globally for that family, most particularly for children, but globally for everyone in that house, and the long-term effect it has, and the sense of hopelessness in terms of being able to get another home. In the context of how we live today, and you compare that to how they lived in the 19th century, you know, I would suggest that some comparisons are valid, particularly when you all the time that has gone in between, where you wouldn't have had the same level of evictions as you had back then.
Yeah, and I do think it is worth pointing out time and time again that there is intense competition out there for any listing. There seems to be a severe shortage of rental properties available. The average new rent is €1,776. Existing rents average in Ireland €1,494. And anybody who has a friend or family who has received a notice of termination on their lease in the last couple of years can speak honestly to the fear that provokes inside a person. It's visceral fear, and I've seen it with my own two eyes. And yet, I think it's fair to point out that the RTB says the number of tenancies has actually gone up slightly, up 1.1% year on year. Does that change the picture at all, Mick?
The number of tenancies has gone up. The number of people in the country has gone up. Now, if you have an increasing population, then you need an increasing number of houses. It's a pretty dire situation at the moment. And I mean, putting it also in context, we're also talking, Ciara, about a context. You know, if you look at, as you mentioned, €1,760, you think about that. If that's your average rent, and you're talking about people who are starting out in life and disproportionately be younger people in this, people in their 20s going into their 30s and that kind of thing, most of them, the vast majority of them, are not earning big money. I mean, I give a very brief example. A friend of mine, this young fellow, has a good job. He's very well educated. He's a good job. Moved to Dublin, living, sharing a house. And he's heading for Australia for the simple reason that he has to live to work. All spare cash is taken up with the cost of rent. Now, that's the context in which at the sharp end of that market, people are getting put out of their homes.
Finally, Mick, over the next year, what are you watching out for here in this market? When will we know if this has worked or gone badly wrong for the government?
Well, I suppose the obvious thing is whether we hear of more investment and particularly how quickly homes can be built. You know, there have been efforts to change the planning system and to make it easier or quicker that people get permission and have serviced land available, and that how quickly that is going to happen. That's very obviously the big thing. Now, quite obviously, those homes won't be built for a year, possibly 2 years at least. But if they're coming on stream, that's one thing. The other thing is, how bad is it going to get in terms of evictions, and whether those living in, for example, emergency accommodation, whether those numbers continue to creep up or do so at a greater rate. I mean, some people will suggest that the government needs to be investing more money in public housing. And that's fair enough. And there's definitely a case for that. I think the actual investment, I think it's about 6 billion annually at the moment, is quite considerable. But again, the problem is how quickly you can get those homes built. But we're told we're going to need 60,000 a year, and we're an awful long way from that yet, Ciara. So you just have to hope things don't get too bad for those at the front line of the crisis.
Mick Clifford, great to have your analysis on News Talk Daily today, and thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for today's News Talk Daily. You can listen back on the Go Loud player and at newstalk.com or wherever it is that you get those podcasts. Until tomorrow, for me, Ciara Doherty. Goodbye.